Amazing me, amazing you.
Hi everybody, greetings from the south coast of Ireland and welcome to the Amazing Me, Amazing You podcast. I'm Steph O'F. Today's podcast is the first in a three-part series sharing the key concepts I have learned and I'm still practicing 15 years later around my relationship with my feelings. So in today's podcast, I'm going to look at how all our feelings make sense. And it is so worth my time and my energy to sit with my feelings and explore them and try to understand what's the wisdom behind my feelings, especially those uncomfortable feelings that I so often wish to ignore or dismiss or dilute, because this practice has been life-changing for me. The next in the series, I am going to be speaking about how we create all our feelings. So our feelings come from us and are for us. And this has been an extraordinary practice because once I'm practicing this, I no longer am in a place of blaming someone else for making me feel any of my uncomfortable feelings. And the third in the series, I'm going to look at how to consciously communicate all our feelings with kindness and love and understanding of all the feelings that come up for us. And this has truly transformed so many relationships in my life, especially the relationship with myself. So since I began my relationship studies 15 years ago, what I have learned and continue to learn about my feelings, and even more importantly, my relationship with my feelings has changed dramatically. From someone who once believed feelings were either good or awful, and the awful feelings were best kept tucked away and hidden, to now where I believe that all my feelings, whether they are heartwarming or creating knots in my belly, they are so worthy of my attention, my patience, and they are worthy of my curiosity, my loving curiosity to explore them and understand them, looking all the time for the wisdom behind all my feelings. Consequently, what I have learned about my feelings has had a hugely positive impact on so many other relationships in my life, especially those relationships that I would have once found most challenging. And when I say most challenging, that's probably a kind way for me to say really the relationships that I found most irritating and frustrating and just simply driving me nuts at the time. So before I began my relationship studies, I had a pretty simple and narrow understanding of my feelings and everyone's feelings. And before I share this, I would love to ask you to consider for yourself, what is your understanding of feelings in general? What is your relationship with your own feelings? So are there some feelings you are very comfortable with feeling and sharing with others? And then are there other feelings that you find hugely uncomfortable to feel and sit into and to share and express with other people? For me, well, my understanding of feelings was basically black and white. I categorized all my feelings as either the good ones or the awful ones, and that was it. A nice, tidy, boxed-in definition. So, for example, I remember so clearly in my late teens and right through my 20s, 30s, until I began this course in my 40s, that I would regularly tie myself up in a knot of upset and then disappointment with myself and then crossness all with myself because I might have said something smart or unkind to somebody I loved. And as soon as I realised, I wish I hadn't said that, I'd apologise. And even though my apology would have been graciously accepted and, you know, thank you for apologising and let's just move on, I wouldn't forgive myself. I wouldn't forgive myself that easily at all. And I would play what I had said on repeat in my head for hours and sometimes days, beating myself up for making the unkind remark. And while I knew at the time, I had a real sense that this isn't healthy for me and this isn't loving, this loop of feeling upset and disappointed and cross, I just didn't know what to do with my feelings. I didn't know how to understand them or express them. So my relationship with so many of my awful feelings was not loving. And I didn't in my wildest dreams consider that any of these feelings that I found so uncomfortable had any goodness or wisdom in them. they were basically just a pain and a nuisance. But for me, I felt they're probably an inevitable part of life, but they took up way too much of my headspace. I wonder, does any of this sound or feel familiar for any of you? So this was my experience. As for feeling angry, well, okay, anger was my big no, don't go there emotion. So if anger was a person, I would genuinely have crossed the road to avoid acknowledging it. And I remember one day in class saying how, oh, I never get angry, and feeling really proud of my self-containment, which I now know was a massive label for myself that was seriously blocking me expressing my full range of emotions. So my truth was that I felt too afraid for many years to even admit to myself when I felt angry, let alone to communicate or share any anger that I was feeling. I would have tried my very best to ignore it and keep a lid on it, or at least dilute it. But of course, I was hiding how I truly felt, and I was masking and modifying my anger as a milder, more what I thought acceptable feeling of upset. Also, I think even if I had allowed myself to feel my anger and acknowledge it, and the full range of what I was calling my awful feelings, including frustration and irritation, at the time, I didn't have the language at all, and I didn't have the safety within myself to express how I truly felt without worrying, okay, what will others think of me if I speak my truth? Will they talk about me behind my back? Would they label me as brazen or unkind or rude or inconsiderate if I told them how I really felt? Would they take it personally, and would they feel insulted or hurt? Would they love me less? Of course, all these feelings were reflecting back to me how I felt about myself. So firstly, I was hugely dependent on other people's approval and love, albeit conditional love. And secondly, I was still very much in a place of judging and personalizing what other people said. So of course, I thought they'd do likewise. For me at the time, anger was my big no, don't go there emotion. I don't know if you have one of those, but this was my one at the time. And however, I learned during my studies that my fear of feeling and expressing any anger came from my confusion and my belief that anger and aggression were the same thing. So I believed that anger was bad and harmful and hurtful. So I tried my best to ignore it, to repress it. And I avoided even naming it whenever I felt it. I renamed it as an upset, a far more comfortable emotion I was happy to share. Then I learned that anger and aggression are completely different, and that changed so much for me. So I realized and I learned that anger is an emotion, whereas aggression is a behavior. Anger is a feeling that is very much a part of being human and calls us to take action for ourselves. However, aggression is a behavior and is always against another person. So anger is for me and aggression is against you. And with this new understanding, I began to slowly allow myself feel my anger as it came up for me. And rather than push it down or mask it or bury it in a tight knot in my belly, I began to see it as my guide rather than my enemy. I began to listen to my anger and ask, without judging myself or judging anyone else, what was my anger communicating with me? Now knowing that this feeling of anger was for me, calling me to take action for myself. And now I'm going to invite you to consider for yourself, is there any feeling you avoid, similar to my anger, that you find threatening or uncomfortable or embarrassing to allow yourself feel and express? Because the good news is that I have learned that all our feelings, every single feeling that ever comes up for us, makes sense. And this includes all those uncomfortable feelings that before I would never have been able to make sense of and understand. I invite you to practice with me in tuning into all your feelings, the feelings you love, which are very comfortable and very easy to sit with and share, and then also the feelings you feel uncomfortable or embarrassed or afraid of feeling, because they are always worthy of our attention and our understanding and our love, because there is so much wisdom behind every single comfortable and uncomfortable feeling that we have. While this learning about the wisdom in all my feelings has been absolutely life-changing, it was not easy by any means. And there were many occasions during those 4 years when I felt, oh, it would have been far easier and simpler to have never learned any of this. But I also knew in my heart that I did not want to continue having these loops of crossness and disappointment with myself for feeling any of what I was calling at the time my uncomfortable or awful feelings. I knew deep down that I did want to have a more loving relationship with myself, and I wanted a better, healthier, stronger, kinder relationship with all my feelings. But I do remember that in that very first term of first year college, feeling hugely irritated with all these new concepts and resisting lots of the learning because I was so reluctant and mostly afraid to start looking at myself, to start looking inwards and looking at any of my uncomfortable feelings when I reacted strongly, rather than responding calmly. You know those situations where you kind of react and I know something's up, but before I would have just driven on regardless. But I was at a stage in those early days when I thought, no, it's okay to just react strongly every now and then. And I argued with the lecturer that, yes, I can react strongly to something and have that uneasy feeling without there having to be some hidden wisdom, and that we don't have to examine and explore what's coming up for us every single time we feel a strong, uncomfortable feeling. And my argument was that maybe the strong feeling is simply a feeling and there's absolutely nothing to learn from them. Of course, the lecturer asked me for an example, and I very willingly had a very current experience that I was happy to share, saying, yeah, this is an airtight example of that. You know, sometimes we can react and have a strong reaction, but there's nothing to it. So my experience had been that only a few days earlier, I shared how my then 10-year-old had asked me to move from his bedroom to the garage that we had converted recently, which was away from my bedroom. And I was totally unprepared for his request. And in my thoughts, I immediately thought, no way is he moving bedrooms, even though it was probably a very reasonable and actually a great idea. But I said to my husband, there's no way he's moving over there. And I said to my child, no, I don't want you to move over there. I like having you over here. And it wasn't that far away, it was only across the way. And I explained to the lecturer and the class how there was no need for me to explore or examine what my feeling was about. It was very just simple and straightforward. I just didn't want him moving to the other side of the house. And there was nothing else to understand. And I was really quite defensive in my argument. Anyway, when he asked me, how come you don't want him to move? I quickly, very quickly said, well, you know, if he had a nightmare, I mightn't hear him. And I thought this sounded very reasonable. And he asked, does he get nightmares? And that stopped me in my tracks. And I said, no, he doesn't, but he might. And anyway, the lecturer looked at me and he said, Steph, you know, I think it would be worth spending some time exploring what's coming up for you. And I argued and I said, there is nothing coming up for me. I just prefer having my kids nearby at nighttime. That's it. And then looking around the class, I was encouraged that I was making sense by a few nodding heads of other parents in the class agreeing with me that, yeah, you know, they could understand. You want to have your kids nearby. Nonetheless, my lecturer repeated his request and he asked me to just let this feeling sit with me for the coming week. Not to block it, but to be open to feeling it and understanding it. Well, I left class that day thinking, what a load of rubbish, because I was so definite and determined that there was nothing more to this feeling other than basic parental instinct. And I arrived home spitting and swearing about the ridiculous suggestion, you know, that there was something coming up for me just because I didn't want my child to sleep away from beside my room. Anyway, I felt so cross at being questioned in front of the whole class because I thought I had a soundproof example, and I found his suggestion so irritating. Anyway, the rest of the week passed by with his suggestion at the back of my mind, and I was trying to be open, and I said, okay, I'm going to be open to this and maybe learn from my feeling. But I didn't have any eureka moments until the Saturday morning when I was pottering about, when out of nowhere, this wave of sudden realization washed over me, and I began to cry real heavy tears. I thought, oh no, he was right, there's something here. And what had surfaced for me was, remarkably, a memory from 11 years earlier that I had completely squashed down and dismissed and thought I had forgotten until now. So 11 years previously, when I was pregnant with our eldest, someone had broken into our home in the middle of the night, and they had robbed from our landing where we were sleeping soundly in our bedroom, only a few feet away, with our bedroom door open. And when we woke in the morning and realised we had been robbed, it had completely freaked me out. Completely. But because I was pregnant, I didn't want to be holding or carrying any stress that my unborn baby might feel. And so I blocked any feeling of shock and I just blanked it completely. And it was easy enough to do for me because it was only a few days before Christmas. So I very easily distracted myself and I shut off any emotions that were flying around my head, my heart, my body. I mean, it was a dreadful experience, but I completely blocked it out. Until in that moment, that Saturday morning, 11 years later, when a flood of grief and shock swept over me. And I cried. I cried for the horrible feeling that I had felt of being violated, that our home had been broken into while we slept and our belongings had been robbed from underneath our sleeping noses. I was amazed that I'd been holding this memory unconsciously all these years. And there was more to come. After a good old cry, I went to have a shower. And I automatically locked the bathroom door. I was home alone at the time. And I realized with this whole new conscious awareness coming up for me that, oh my goodness, whenever I'm home alone, for the past 11 years, I have been locking my bathroom door every time I have a shower. And I wasn't even conscious of it until that very moment. So my resistance to my 10-year-old, my strong resistance to my 10-year-old making a very casual request to move bedrooms had brought up for me a feeling of threat and a feeling of danger that I had never acknowledged since the robbery 11 years earlier. I was blown away. I still am, actually, when I think of that story and that experience. I was in awe of my reaction. And I was in awe of my immediate, unconscious feeling of reluctance and the wisdom behind my feeling to not want my child to move into a bedroom away from my bedroom. So I sat with all the emotions that came up for me and I felt all my feelings. And then, quite remarkably, I felt those same feelings soften and just kind of, just get lighter and fade. And incredibly, later that same day, I was able to hear my child's request from a totally different place. And I was feeling safe and secure, and I was able to say yes to the bedroom move. Now, it took me a little longer to feel comfortable enough to not lock the bathroom door when home alone, taking a shower, which was incredible. But I did get there. And the next week back in class, oh, did I eat humble pie as I shared the amazing insight and the wisdom that had been behind that strong reaction, that strong feeling of reluctance to my child's request to move bedroom. So yes, I have learned the hard way that yes, our feelings always make sense. And especially those uncomfortable feelings where I react rather than respond. They have so much wisdom behind them. And I have learned that it is always worth my while sitting with them, allowing myself feel them, and seeing them with a curiosity to understand the wisdom behind them every single time, creating that conscious awareness of what's behind every feeling we have. And this becoming conscious and seeing the wisdom in my feelings is 100% a lifelong practice for me. There isn't a week that goes by without me learning something significant about myself and learning about the wisdom behind my uncomfortable feelings when I react and what I used to call my awful feelings. And nowadays, when I do feel confused with a feeling and I kind of can see that I reacted rather than responded, I will write it out. I grab my pen and paper and I will write at the top of the page, I'm feeling, and then I write whatever comes to mind without any judgment, without trying to find an answer, without checking my grammar or spellings. I just write it out. And always within a few pages, I uncover the wisdom and the story behind that uncomfortable feeling that I am feeling. So I invite you to practice with me feeling all your feelings without judgment, without labeling them as good or awful, as I did for so many years, but simply giving yourself permission to feel all your feelings and to see your feelings as always making sense and deserving of being listened to and understood without modifying them or dismissing them or masking them. And to see your feelings as your guide, your intuition, and your wisdom. And that together we will listen for the message that all our feelings are communicating. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and I would love if you would share it with anyone you feel would love to explore and look at how do we develop a nurturing, loving relationship with ourselves. Because it really does transform our lives and all our relationships, and in my experience, especially the relationship with myself. You can find my blogs and more podcasts on my website, amazingmeamazingyou.com. Wishing you a beautiful day of self-love practice.